Born and raised in Kansas City, he's followed the Chiefs his entire life. He has seen every single home playoff win. That's right, all five of them.
How long are we going to do this?
30 years later, he's still following the Chiefs. Except now, he gets paid to do it. He's our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, on the program.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for joining us here in the program. Busy day today. A lot to get to. We're going back out to Indianapolis. That's what we're going to do. As Nate Taylor joining us here in the program. And don't forget, I don't know, what was I going to say? That's something I was not going to forget.
I'm not entirely sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Nate Taylor, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires for all your car's Big O No moments. There's always a Big O Yes. You'll say oh yes to savings up to $150 on sets of four Nitto, Cooper, Toyo, and Pirelli tires with paid installation when you use your Big O Tires credit card. Take advantage of it. The Big O Tires nearest you can be found at BigOTires.com. Everything you need, all the service you need on your vehicle, whether that's tires, brakes, alignment, shocks, batteries, it's all right there. When you got a Big O No, get a Big O Yes from our friends at Big O Tires. Find the location nearest you at BigOTires.com. Big O Tires, big on service, guaranteed low prices. And welcome to the Sprint guest line, Nate Taylor. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I am wonderful. It is cold, but I am looking at the lovely JW Marriott, where so many things are being discussed about this league that we all love on Sundays. So, you know, workouts have started finally, and there's no real evidence that we may have a new CDA soon. I don't know. It's been a weird week.
All right. So, like, what is it the CBA you're talking about on things that are being discussed?
Yeah, and just the idea, the general idea of, like, where's Tom Brady going, Chris Jones, the idea of, like, chasing down people to talk about Sammy Watkins and see how much fruit that produces. But it's been a weird combine year, and a lot of that is because we don't know the CBA and where that's headed, and that obviously affects the salary cap situation, the money that can be allocated to each team. And that, for your listeners, Seren, has a huge impact on the Chiefs and what they can do in terms of restructuring contracts for not only next year but the future. So for the Chiefs, they probably need to understand where the CBA is going. Like, they got a lot of things to get settled, to get organized, and it's hard to do that when you don't know what the projected numbers are going to be moving forward.
I would agree. Let's take a minute. You mentioned Chris Jones in there. Let's start there on that side of things. Curtis was just listening in. Chris Jones was on
Colin Cowherd's TV show,
right? Mm-hmm. His television show, which is his radio show.
Basically.
Where do we start?
We begin with they're talking about him having the franchise tag put on him, and Howard asked him, you know, is there a feeling to you of hey, how come I can't get a long term deal?
A little bit. It's like a mix of emotions, because you figure, you know, after 4 years, you do everything the right way, within the team way, and you try to stay under the lines, out of trouble, and be a good citizen for the team and for the city, and you expect to be rewarded. So, you know, when you hit with a franchise tag, it can go different ways. You can feel like they're not valuing you, or they're not valuing what you bring to the table, or you can look at it as giving them time to get their horses in a cage and get something together.
How do you feel today about it?
I mixed emotions. I feel a little bit like every team in this league has the opportunity to franchise a good player, and
you're more
I'm
than
the
a
lucky
good
guy. I'm the lucky guy,
Chris. You're the lucky guy. I get it. I mean, I got to be honest with you. If my company franchise tagged me, I'd be like, "What? I thought you liked me." I get it.
Yeah.
Lucky.
It's no hard feelings. It's the business.
Yeah, but there's a little hard. It's okay.
It's a little hard. Yeah. It's a little hard. It's like, damn, what else y'all want me to do? I got to go out and get 30 sacks, 35 sacks to show y'all I can, you know.
I get it, man.
But the beautiful thing about the franchise tag, it can go one or two ways. The team either long-term you and have you for the future, or are they going to trade you? So
I mean, you're going to get paid either way. You
either
know that.
Way. Yeah, either way. It'd
be nice to get paid when benefits. You have Mahomes as a quarterback.
Yeah, it would be nice to get paid in Kansas City and stay with Mahomes and what they're building over there, what we're building. It's exceptional. I feel like we're building a dynasty. And for Brett Veach, it's about looking at the team, analyzing what you can lose and what you have to keep.
So Coward kind of pushed him toward the hard feelings thing, but that did get the, what do I got to do? 35 sacks for you to realize how good I am?
Okay, any reaction? I'll give you first crack at that. That's the first time I've heard it as well, Nate. Any reaction from you?
Yeah, I've seen the clip. I've talked to a couple people. It's a business, and anyone who understands anything about this league has to know that here's why the franchise tag in some ways is a mechanism in the league. It is to protect the team, at least for 1 year, a great player going on the open market. Like, that is literally what it's designed to do. The Chiefs are using the mechanism. Now, look, they did the same thing with Justin Houston, and they got to a long-term deal, based on my memory. They could do the same thing with Chris Jones, or they could trade him like they did with D4 last year. It is a business. These are the mechanisms they have to use, because on March 18th, young fella, anybody can negotiate with you for a contract, and we all know those negotiations kind of happen here in Indianapolis. Just want to put that out there for everybody. So, again, it was expected. I had written 2 days ago in The Athletic that, like, this is going to happen. It's now a matter of the timeline. How soon can you get to a deal, again, with the new CBA sort of, weighing over everybody on this, and how much is Chris willing to sign to remain with the Chiefs, or is his number going to be too much for the Chiefs to sort of retain his services and he can go somewhere else and restructure a new deal if he's traded the way D Ford was last year?
Okay, a couple of reactions that I had, and that's number one, I can't believe how I continue to hear, like, every morning, even though it's about three or four different things down the road that have to happen before Patrick Mahomes' contract is really the centerpiece discussion for the Chiefs organization, that I continue to hear every morning on ESPN about Mahomes taking less money. Every freaking morning on Get Up, it's a subject. Greenberg's got, or the producer of that show, has got a burr in their saddle that they're going to talk about that every single day. And maybe it's because, hey, every day we have to talk about Mahomes. He's the biggest hot button topic. And that's the only thing they can do. Like, literally everybody that comes through, they make that a discussion. Coward didn't bring up, though, and nobody ever brings up Chris Jones taking a discount.
Right.
Why?
And that's because we expect Patrick Mahomes to be Tom Brady. And that's just.
But Tom Brady, did you find anything when you looked it up, Curtis? We're still looking at his contract.
But where he took the less money?
No, taking less money in his second contract. Like, everybody is like, look, well, Tom Brady took less. Yeah, at like 37, married to a woman worth $1 billion.
Right.
Billion, not million, billion dollars.
Right.
The biggest supermodel in the world. He took slightly less money to stay in New England.
This is 05, 6 for $60. He was not quite the highest paid player.
What's it say? And back then he was throwing for like 24 and 14 and 28 and 12, not 50. Right? There was still talk that, like, Brady was just pretty good. So it's 6 for $60. His second contract, he was not quite the highest paid player. Right. I actually had somebody tweet at me, Mahomes should take half of what his market value is.
No.
Right. I know. I'm not asking you to comment. Nate, we're not wasting our precious time with you having you comment on something so asinine. All right? That's just ridiculous. But my point is, because Brady did it, and by the way, he didn't do it till later in his career. Believe me, 6 for $60 was as much as he could get, because he was not hanging records in that first contract. Right. Like, Patrick Mahomes is hanging records everywhere. Mahomes has had a significantly better, as far as statistically, 3 years than Brady had until he was 30.
Right.
And
with Randy Moss.
And he's now won a championship. He's only one title behind Brady on the championship meter. Okay, and things are done differently. Now, then you had to complete your contract. Now the standard is you pay the quarterback before, when he's got 2 years left on his deal. So the whole dynamics have changed. But I'm curious as to why you know, Chris Jones doesn't get asked, how much of a hometown discount will you take? Right? Because to me, if it's keeping the band together, everybody's got to want to be in the band. It's not just the lead singer.
Right.
And the guy who writes all the songs, that's supposed to, you know, suck it. Everybody's got to be in on the deal. So I'm tired of Chris Jones getting the free pass. If we're going to, first of all, I think it's ridiculous. I don't think Chris Jones should give him a discount. I think he should go get paid. And then Brett Beach and Andy Reid should do their job and put the right pieces around him. Right. And frankly, I think the reality of it is, you know, they kind of made some mistakes before now, and it's why they can't keep Chris Jones. Would I rather have Chris Jones on a 6 for $120? That's the number I gave to Corey Anderson earlier that I thought he was worth. 6 for $120 with $80 million guaranteed is what I think Chris Jones is worth. And would I like to see that signed? Yes. Would I have not signed Anthony Hitchens for the deal they signed him? No, I wouldn't have. I would not have done that. I wouldn't also have traded for Frank Clark and signed him. I would have gone after Za'Darius Smith, who signed for like 4 for $65 with the Packers. But they did what they did, and it resulted in a Super Bowl. And I have no issue with anything they've done to this point. But we're at this point. And so and we're at this point with Patrick Mahomes. And so the other reaction I have to this is there's a reason why the Kansas City Chiefs tiptoed around the local media, right? At least local media recording things on the record. That's Corey Anderson. All right. And I didn't see him on Channel 5. Did anybody see Veach on Channel 5? We were the two electronic media that were at the combine.
Right.
All right. They don't, because we'll go deeper than that. Like the question that needed to be asked by Colin Cowherd when Chris Jones is like, hey, what do you got to do? Is, well, there are reports in Kansas City that, you know, first of all, you held out last year, really a year early. Do you think they have hard feelings for you holding out before it's really time for you to hold out, skipping OTAs and mini camps? You know, Steve Spagnuolo said this year really that it was taking time because you weren't there for the install of the defense.
Right.
Right? That question didn't get asked. The other question, when you're going to talk about, like, what do I have to do? I don't know, show up to OTAs and mini camp. Right? Maybe if you had, maybe they'd have a different view. And I'm not saying they would have and you're wrong. I'm saying that question should be asked when you act like you're being wronged by the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's another one. Don't tell the fans how to sell their tickets, right? That would have been a follow-up. Like, do you think maybe there was a problem when in season you said, hey, don't sell your tickets, fans, right? Like, you know, that didn't get asked. And furthermore, listen, there are reports, because I gave the report, that he has been offered a deal around $100 million this past off season, and he didn't take it. So, like, what? Like, the rebuttal would be, well, you know, reports are you've been offered upwards of $100 million total with, I don't know what the guarantees are. Maybe it's $40 million, maybe it's $50 million, maybe it's $60 million. But it's not like you have not even received an offer. If what I've been told is true, he received an offer last year. So acting like he's just, you know, this week's garbage to be disposed of by the Kansas City Chiefs. And Cowherd is not equipped with that because he looked up his sack numbers, I'm sure, before this interview and doesn't know any of that. So it's safe to parade Brett Veach around the national media where nobody digs deep. And it's safe to parade Chris Jones around the national media because I've heard Veach's comments. It's like, yeah, we definitely want to get a deal done. Well, if you do, why is it not already done? You know, I mean, that's the question he needs to be asked. Well, if you really want him done, why didn't you get it done last year? He made it clear he wanted a contract last year, coming off a 15.5 sack season.
They didn't want to set a precedent, Sarin.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is nationally, nobody asked them those questions.
Right.
Oh, I agree. I wouldn't have given Chris Jones the deal either.
Right.
But, I mean,
right,
that question should be asked of Brett Veach by a national media member, and it should be asked of Chris Jones. Instead, they both get to act. They both sit up there not really getting into what are the truths of this contract negotiation and just going skin deep on what's actually occurring here.
Yeah. No, I completely understand you. And for Chris, in terms of your analogy, in terms of the rock band that the Kansas City Chiefs are at this moment, I've talked to enough people here that Sammy Watkins understands this. I mean, he has maybe a more well-rounded experience as an NFL player because obviously there was a lot of expectations in Buffalo. He was then traded to Los Angeles, and then he could pick to where he wanted to play. And he saw a film of Patrick Mahomes in practice and was like, this seems like a good idea. And now he looks at the landscape of the league and realizes, hey, like, we should keep the band together. Patrick wants to keep the band together. I will talk to the Chiefs about figuring out a way to restructure my deal so that I'm at least with the team next year and maybe even moving forward after that, because I understand the value of, I don't know, playing with Patrick Mahomes. It's the same thing that Chris Jones is going to ultimately have to decide. Like, the Chiefs, based on this CBA that we live under and whatever the new CBA that's going to be voted and ratified into action in the next couple of years, that's what they have to work with. And Patrick Mahomes, I know, I've asked and talked to plenty of people in my own dentist's office. Like, I was at Dr. Winburn's office 2 weeks ago and trying to explain to people, Russell Wilson makes $35 annually per year. This is without the new CBA deal that's going to explode the market even further. So, yes, are you telling Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, younger, better, has a Super Bowl ring, has almost 50 touchdowns, has an MVP award, to take less money or even comparable money to like Russell Wilson? That's not going to happen. The Players Association needs Patrick Mahomes to be the highest paid player in the league. As I told you the day after the Super Bowl, Seren, it's going to be 42 or more. Like, it would shock me if it was 40 or less, just because, one, his agents aren't going to do that. It's Chris Colbert and Lee Steinberg. We know their history, which I've shared with you earlier. And the idea is the league is designed for quarterbacks. He's the best player in the league. He's supposed to get the most money. It's up to the other teammates and the salary cap specialist that Brett Veach has with his own negotiation tactics to figure out a way to keep the team intact as best he can moving forward to try to be repeat champions. The league is designed for you not to be repeat champions, and these are the hard decisions you have to make once you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, taking care of the key pieces is a big part of it. One of the reports that's out there, which we will talk about next with Nate Taylor, is the fact that the Chiefs are shopping players in an effort to open up salary cap room. This is funny. We'll talk about why it's funny next.
The Program with Seren Petro.
It's me and a bunch of drooling Neanderthal dullards. What more do you need to know?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We gotta stay.
Until I die. I gotta stay. All right, the good sense into the hour answer. John Ross holds the NFL Combine record for fastest 40-yard dash. He ran 4.22 in 2017. Whose record did he break?
That would be one Chris Johnson.
Yep. 4.24 in 2008. That is, I guess that was tied with Rondell Menendez at the time, but yeah. John Ross, number
Lyle
nine.
Lyle Menendez?
It was Eric, actually.
Okay. All right. Good enough. important safety tip. What were we playing for there? Good sense?
Yippers.
Good sense. GoodSenseSubs.com. Put your order in right now or have them delivered if you're already home or on your way home, almost home. You need some dinner tonight. I, by the way, am going to be going by Good Sense myself on the way home. GoodSenseSubs.com. Put the order in. My order's saved right there. I just click on Dad. That's what we have it bookmarked under or nicknamed under. Boom, click, order, time, ready to go. GoodSenseSubs.com. Remember, 10% back when you're part of the loyalty club. Nate Taylor. From The Athletic is on our sprint guest line as we speak right now. So reports saying the Chiefs are looking to or could be looking to, I can't remember how it was phrased, I don't want to misphrase it, to trade some folks to open up cap room, which I think is funny because, like, the only people that open up cap room are the people we'd probably talk about them either cutting or renegotiating. Right? Like, I like when people write that and they don't realize that trading is the same as cutting. So the dead cap money escalates immediately. So if we're talking about trading, we're talking about Cam Irving, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Dustin Colquitt, of course, Sammy Watkins. We're talking about, who else was there? Damian Wilson?
Damian Wilson is a big guy in this discussion.
So, like, what do you think about them actually trading? Hey, listen, Sammy Watkins you're going to get maybe a sixth, but probably a seventh, because they know you're going to have to do something with him.
Right.
And so you're not going to get, like, a second-round pick for Sammy Watkins.
Right. And, again, like I said earlier, I mean, Sammy probably doesn't want to get traded, although he really has no control over that. He would like to probably, you know, stay with the team moving forward. I think the key to this is Cam Irving, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Damian Wilson. These guys are all flawed when it comes to the trade market because you can just turn on the tape. Damian Wilson probably has the most value to the Chiefs and to the open market if you want to trade him for salary cap, you know, opening purposes. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif struggled mightily at times this year. He got better as the season went along, so you can say that to an opposing team. And he is a world champion offensive lineman who was with the Chiefs on a contract that was, you know, ballooning throughout the course of his tenure with the team. But the understanding is he is a, you know, NFL starter ready moving forward. It's just how much of that is a commodity in February, March, and even April moving into the draft. Like, I don't – any team can look at over the cap. I would suggest all your listeners are in to, like, go to overthecap.com, look at the tabs of the 2020-2021 season. Again, it gets a little bit murky because you're not sure where the CBA is going to go in all this in terms of how much cap space you're going to have and how much the cap is going to rise year over year. But to think that, like, they're just going to start trading guys who were somewhat valuable or had real value to the team last year, it's funny because the likelihood of that happening, I think, is still low at this moment. Teams are here at the combine to look at younger, cheaper prospects. Getting Laurent Duvernay-Tardif after multiple injuries when his athleticism is starting to fade, one could suggest. And that's not me saying this personally. That's just sort of the overall thought process of him around league personnel, folks. It's complicated, and I just don't see a team doing that right now to help the Chiefs when the team that's trading for the player knows they're opening space for the Super Bowl world champions to continue their dominance in the league.
Yes, and so this is you know, this is what you have to do. Sometimes you got to walk away from good players when it's all said and done. There's only one player you never walk away from, the Hall of Fame quarterback, right, playing at his premium, you know, at the best he can play or close to it, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The other thing that I think is key, and I talked about it for years, and we saw it finally pay off in a Super Bowl for the Chiefs, is the quarterback under the first contract. And he's still going to be fairly cheap. I mean, even with a big signing bonus that they can prorate out, you know, he's still going to be fairly cheap next year, and even this year, which they're going to take a cap hit with a signing bonus. But he can still be – could – well, actually, that signing bonus is going to play out. He's going to be 30-something next year. So this year's the last year of him being cheap. But the next stage of this is the fact that he is a quarterback that not only spins it but can move his legs.
Right.
Right? And so the next window that the Chiefs are entering into is the after this year. This year he'll still be like, what, a base salary of $5 million, and say they give him a $40 million signing bonus, so $8 million over 6 years, or say it's 42, $7 million over 6 years.
Right.
So he'll count $12 million this year. So he's still going to be cheap. Next year, I think it's 25 is the fifth-year option, plus 7, it'll be 32. Then after that, he's going to be – then he gets to the 40 per, let's call it, part of the contract extension. You know, and it could be 47 if they just call it 40 each.
Right.
And so that's when it really kicks in. But what they've got to do now is focus on the fact that, and this is why I would say it's a time to potentially move on from some people. And if it's not Chris Jones, fine, but you're going to have to move on from a lot of other people. And if that's Sammy Watkins, LDT, Cam Irving, you're not re-signing Robinson, you know, you're not re-signing the Sausage, and you're going to go with a bunch of young, unproven players –
right.
Then now's the time to do it because he can still buy you time with his legs. And there's going to come a time where you can't move on from that much around him because he's going to be a stationary quarterback. And when he becomes that, he'll still be great. He just won't have the escapability that he has. So this is window number two where he starts to get costly. Or next year is window two where he starts to get costly. But he can still... you can live without some pieces because he makes up for it with his legs. That day will end at some point.
Right, of course. And look, if you're a Chiefs fan, you have to understand that the core of your team right now is Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and these are guys under contract, Mitchell Schwartz, Travis Kelce, Eric Fisher, and that's all on offense. And then defense, depending on what happens with Chris Jones, he may be a part of the core, but Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens, and that's about it. You need 10 really, really good football players. You need all 10 of them to stay as relatively healthy as they can, even despite the injuries that we all saw last year. And the Chiefs have to do two things. They have to manage their cap, which means, like you said, moving on from some guys. And they have to evaluate these prospects in a way that got them Patrick Mahomes, that got them Mecole Hardman, that has led to their success not only this season but in years past. Like, they can't miss anymore. They can't have two bad drafts in a row. Like, it's just based on the contract, based on the situation with the team, they have to get some of these young players and develop them and coach them up correctly, which is why Andy Reid said yesterday, on Tuesday, why it was so important for the coaching staff to remain intact, even if that's keeping Eric Bieniemy from taking, you know, a coaching job with Colorado. Their whole system's in place now. So you can go from the Super Bowl right into scouting and say, we can still do this at a better level than half the teams in the league. And now you just got to prove it over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then you get closer to the draft. And then you have to execute if you want to trade up, trade down, and do whatever you do with your draft board. So you have a good core. It's a core that a lot of teams would like to have. But now you got to rebuild the surrounding players while also managing the money, with the understanding, too, that, you know, Mahomes is going to make anybody who plays next to him better, but it also comes down to, can these players fit the scheme? Will the locker room stay the same in terms of the leadership, in terms of the camaraderie? And then understanding, too, that, hey, not everyone can get paid, but everybody knows what the intended goal is, which is you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and that's a great place to start in any season in the NFL.
We're talking right now to Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He's with us here on our Sprint guest line. So do you think that they get anybody traded?
At this moment, again, and this is real, like, one thing I would say for listeners, and I know, like, we're all thirst hungry at this point for information, and it's the off season, but, like, the team just won the Super Bowl, and, like, the combine is 1 out of 100 steps towards the draft, towards free agency. So what you hear now may not matter in 2 weeks. And so could they trade people? Sure. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen just because there's too many pieces to the puzzle that we don't know yet, and there's other teams around them in the league that understand that they are going to be cap-strapped moving forward just because they have to give money to Patrick Mahomes. So I don't see them, again, being trade partners with the Chiefs when the whole intention of the league is to try to beat the Chiefs. So I would say no at this point, but this is just step one. Combine is not everything. There are pro days. There are going to be a lot more discussions coming towards the franchise tag, the end of that deadline. And then there's the understanding, too, that, like, the trades before the draft matter way more than the discussion that happens at the combine. These two things can be related, but I think there's more steps along the process before we actually know how this team may look in 2020.
So what's your gut tell you is going to happen with Chris Jones?
Here's my answer right now in the moment. It's a business. Chris understands that. It was interesting today that he, you know, got to a microphone. I mean, shout out to him and shout out to his representation, the smart play. I think he wants to be paid, and I understand that. People should understand that. Fans should understand that. Brett Veach and Andy Reid understand this too. It is a 50-50 proposition right now, and it's leaning more towards him being franchised and traded because we don't know the CBA. And that's the thing that I just want everyone to understand. You have to know the exact numbers for the CBA year over year in 22, 23, 24. There are agents and league executives here at the Combine that are losing their minds because they don't know the answer to those numbers. And so if you can't find the exact formula to keep him here, it's probably better for you to get some level of compensation before he walks on the open market. And I, as we mentioned before, Simran, you can't keep him on the franchise tag this year and play it out because then you can't get anybody back or anybody else to sort of supplement the team's roster. So it's a long answer, and I understand that, but it's looking more like until we know the CBA, he might be traded. Again, this is might. This is somewhat speculative based on what I'm hearing, but he might be traded just because you don't know what exactly can keep him on the team when you know that you're also paying Patrick Mahomes. It's a complicated issue, and this is just where we are at the moment.
I'm of the belief that it's got to happen by the draft. Do you agree?
I think it may have to happen before free agency. Like, you can't go into free agency, in my opinion, and not know what the plan is. And that's the whole issue with the CBA discussions, is because as you enter a new league year, as you enter the new league year, that's the final year of the current CBA deal, you need to know what's going to happen, what the money is going to be, what the allocation of resources can be. And so I think for the league, I think for the players union, I think for the player reps, and clearly for Chris Jones, you kind of need an answer by March 18th, because that's when the new league year starts, with the understanding that, hey, there's going to be a lot of moving pieces to this, but it would be really helpful if you knew what the players were willing to agree with, what the owners are willing to agree with. Obviously, there's right and wrongs to both sides of each argument, but I think they need to figure out, even before you get to April, it needs to be figured out sometime in March.
Yeah, and I think at that point, if the contract's not figured out, then he gets traded before the draft.
Right, which is this is different than Dee Ford in a lot of ways. I need to preface that or explain that too. Like, this is different than Dee Ford, where you're switching schemes. He was the most logical scapegoat. Like, hey, he was offsides. Like, that's on him. There ain't nobody else. He's still a commodity. He's still a really speedy pass rusher that could help a team who needs one. And hey, if they want to give up a second round draft pick for next year, then you've got to, you know, it's an easier decision. Because you also knew that, you know, Frank Clark was going to be tagged and that he was going to be maybe available on the trade market too. Which, again, all these discussions were happening last year at the combine. So it's not the same thing as, like, trading Chris Jones is the equivalent to trading, you know, Dee Ford after you tagged him. This is much more complicated. But I also feel, too, like with Chris Jones' situation, he's spoken so publicly about wanting to be here, and his teammates believe truly that he wants to come back, that, again, the league is designed not to have great teams just stay around. Like, it's hard. So if he's going to be traded, it will be ahead of the draft. And you could push it from a negotiation standpoint, where you call everybody in the league and say, hey, this is just where we are. What can you give us? And you drive that price just about to opening night of the draft or a day or two beforehand, which is what happened with the Chiefs acquiring Frank Clark after they traded Dee Ford a couple weeks earlier.
Who does get traded? Who does get cut beyond, you know, the Chris Jones factor? Where's your hope for Sammy Watkins? Where's your hope for LDT? What do you think they end up ultimately having to do? We had Brett Veach in the program right after the Super Bowl, and he talked about having multiple paths that they would consider going down. You know, what do you think they end up doing?
This is based on my reading and understanding of it all right now. I mean, again, a lot of this can change. I think they probably move on from Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. People forget that Martinez Rankin is expected to come back after his, I think it was a lower leg injury against the Titans, the team's last loss. But he was playing well. He may be able to slide into that position if Andrew Wiley's going to come back for the offensive lineman. At this point, it looks like Sammy Watkins wants to hear the Chiefs out on what is possible to keep his services for this season and moving forward. So I would say it's more probable that that happens. For a guy, I think Damian Wilson fits Steve Spagnuolo's scheme really well. I mean, we saw that over a year. I don't think another team is just going to want to trade for him and give up a draft asset right now. So I think he stays on the roster. Rashad Breeland might get a good deal in free agency, so that probably means he's gone. Kendall Fuller is going to get paid, folks. Paid. Based on his flexibility, his desire to be a slot corner that can also play safety. As we see, you need good DBs to play well in the postseason, and he's a free agent, and he's highly intelligent, and he's probably going to get paid more than you're thinking right now if you're in your car or in your office. So that's the list right now that I can give you. And again, this is all sort of, you know, speculation, but with educated guesses based on everything I'm hearing here in Indianapolis.
We're talking to Nate Taylor here in the program. What are you hearing as far as who the Chiefs are liking, what they're looking at? We know that they talked to Jordan Elliott from Missouri. What are you getting any news about who they're talking to and looking at and interviewing and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the most important day of the combine from a prospect perspective in terms of their interviews and when these guys are made available to us reporters and their workouts is the DBs.
the DBs really matter. It's a deep class based on my understanding. A lot of folks here like what they're seeing so far, not only on tape, but coming from the Senior Bowl and just going through the process as you will. We will talk to a lot of the DBs tomorrow, and so I'm interested to see who the Chiefs have had formal discussions with in terms of interviews and informal. I think tight end's an interesting place, too, just because unlike last year where it was such a big position that people were coveting, that might not be the case, so there'll be more prospects that fall to them that are in that tight end range. I think there's a love affair between Andy Reid and this coaching staff and these wideouts. Don't be surprised if the Chiefs go and get another wide receiver, because there's just so many talented. And there's a quote that I asked Brett Veach that I'll write at some point that'll be in a story. But, like, Andy Reid wants flexibility, wants guys who can run and catch. That may lend itself to a running back or two. But I think those are the four positions that I find most intriguing in all of this. It's like, hey, cornerback, DB seems interesting. The idea that, hey, maybe you can get a valuable tight end when the market isn't what it was a year ago. Receivers are just so stocked, you might as well take one and see if you can develop them really well. And understand, too, that, like, the Chiefs need linebackers. And we've mentioned that previously when I've been on your show, Samir, that, hey, linebacker is an area that the Chiefs probably should put some resources into.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's great about the Chiefs is they won the Super Bowl, and they've got a lot of places where they can improve.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wrote yesterday in The Athletic, the idea that I know people – and even I question this, like, hey, Clark, does Clark Hunt want you to stay at 32? Does he want you to move down? Would he be opposed to you, like, trading up? Because, hey, Brett Veach, that's what you've been doing out here in these drafts. You've been trading up to get a guy that you really like or that you feel like you've evaluated better than half the teams in the league. But Andy Reid and Brett Veach were pretty clear. They're like, hey, at 32, we should get a really good player, a top-line player, like plug-and-play player, whether that's at the positions I just named earlier, or someone that you've evaluated throughout the course of now to April that you say, wow, this person's better than when the process began, and our scouting and our coaching staff is going to prove that. So, yeah, they should stay at 32, mostly because you get a fifth-year option with that player in terms of their contract, but also, too, just because they won the Super Bowl, they got Patrick Mahomes. You don't necessarily have to trade up. And I know you, Seren, love trading down to get more picks, but even if they stay at 32, that player – should be someone that the Chiefs find to be pretty valuable based on what this draft class looks like, based on the two previously that we've all seen.
Don't you think, like, with only five picks and all the free agents they've got, that, like, trading down, didn't we talk about this before?
Oh, it seems favorable. Oh, I mean, well, let me tell you this, Ren. We know what Bill Belichick would do.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, but there's a decent pushback. Again, and this is from whether it's Clark Hunt or someone in the front office, you know, who has a good voice, whether that's Mike Bergazzi or some of their cap specialists. Hey, if you find a prospect that you really like, staying at 32 and getting that player for at least 5 years has really value, has a lot of cachet to it. So they can't go wrong. I think the only way you go wrong here is if you, like, go up from, like, 32 to 20, because you better be right. But if you stay at 32 or if you even move down, I think those are the wise decisions that this team should do heading into the draft based on what I'm hearing about this draft class, which is arguably better in very different positions than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I listen, I think they've got a lot of work to do, but I think they've proven that they can do a lot of work. They did a lot of work last year.
They did.
You know?
They reconstructed the entire defense, and they only kept, like, four guys. It was like Chris Jones, you know. Dan Sorensen, Kendall Fuller, and Reggie Ragland, I mean, and Anthony Hitchens. Like, they only kept, like, five legitimate guys, and they reshaped the whole thing and figured it out. So, yeah, Chiefs fans should have faith in the organization. They are a competent organization. Believe me, y'all, I'm here in Indianapolis. Some of these teams need help.
No, trust me. Yeah, and the Chiefs. Listen, they all have work to do. I mean, everybody's getting better. As time progresses, but you know, I do want to point out, you know, I love everyone loves talking about how the Chiefs came from double digits down in each of their games. You know, they also won by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Mahomes is pretty good.
Yeah, and you could say, well, they faced what it ended up being, the fifth and sixth seeds. Okay, I mean third.
Yeah.
Third and sixth.
Yeah, the Rocket or Texans were third, and then the Titans were sixth. And right. so, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's no.
Hey, but what happened to Baltimore? What happened to Baltimore? I mean, hey, yeah. you know, it yeah. happens.
And the number one NFC seed. So
right.
there's no apologies for where they are, and I think they're actually way ahead of everybody, largely because of the quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
that's the deal.
Coach. And the coach.
And the coach.
The coach.
And the front office. The front office yeah. did brilliant work
right.
this year.
Right.
I mean, it all yeah, you got to be good at all those places, and they are. And they will be next year. Doesn't mean it'll all line up. You know, they right. had injuries early, but they got healthy late for the most part. And that benefited them as well. But no, they're in good shape. Nate, great stuff. Enjoy your time there in Indy. We'll talk to you when you get back here to KC.
Thank you, fellas. It's been a joy to be back in one of my previous homes in Indianapolis. And who knows? Maybe when I come back, I'll have even more information for you guys.
There you go. We look forward to it, buddy. We'll be reading The Athletic. That's where you can read Nate Taylor's great work on the Kansas City Chiefs. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll give you some things you need to know next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I forgot the question. I do that a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
All right, let's start with K-State. The losses may not be done with Scotty Hazleton reportedly leaving for Michigan State to be their defensive coordinator. K-State strength and conditioning coach Chris Dawson is in Tuscaloosa today. We mentioned that Scotty Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
No relation to Joe Cocker. You like how I got that name wrong, too?
I did. I wanted to mention something earlier, but Blair was here, and he just had a good smile on his face.
He enjoyed it. He was like, you're an idiot, but I'm not going to say it. So I just did it myself.
He just
there
laughed.
You go. Scotty Cochran left as the Alabama strength and conditioning coach. He was considered by a lot of people to be the best in the business. He left and went to Georgia. K-State strength coach Chris Dawson in Tuscaloosa interviewing for the same job at Alabama. Dawson appears to be the first person for an in-person interview since Cochran left to become the special teams coordinator at Georgia. He's been at K-State since 2010. So,
was it KU before that?
Damn. Listen, if K-State ends up going 5-7 because of personnel losses and then goes 8-4 the next year, they may wish that they went 5-7 then 8-4 because they did so well that, like, everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, coming to get their guys. Royals lost to the Brewers today 4-2. Jake Junis, perfect inning, 2 strikeouts. Scott Blewett allowed all 4 runs on 5 hits in the second inning. Chris Bubich went 2 scoreless innings, allowing 1 hit and 1 walk while striking out 2. The other 3, of course, threw good ball. Total of like 5 innings, mm-hmm. I think. 8 base runners, 5 Ks yesterday. So now all 4 of them have pitched and had some success out there on the field. That's good news. For Kansas City Royals fans. Tom Brady's representatives have met with the Chargers, Raiders, and Colts so far. Dak Prescott's representatives met with the Cowboys for the first time since September. And I love this. Jerry Jones said he has thought about bringing Dez Bryant back. Quote, I haven't talked to Dez, but I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower. It should not be dismissed. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, boy.
Scary.